Evening. It is wonderful to be out again on this Lord's Day that we have had, and what a wonderful Lord's Day it has been so far. I've been encouraged by our time together and our worship together. I'd like to thank Wes and Ron and Joey for their part in worship this evening. Wes in reading the scripture, and Ron and his prayer, and Joey in the song leading, and they all fit together well with what we're talking about this evening, and talking about King Josiah and his love for the law of the Lord. You know, in the psalm that Wes read in Psalm 119, in the 97th verse, the psalmist, who I and many presume to be David, says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And in fact, all 176 verses of the 119th Psalm describes David's love and admiration for the law of God. He read and he pondered and he meditated on the law daily, and not just once a day, but often throughout the day. And as such, I think it is no coincidence that David is called a man after God's own heart. But as David continues to be king, and as he passes on, he, of course, succeeds the throne to Solomon. And Solomon takes the throne. And Solomon, at first, loves the law of the Lord like David, but he has many wives, and they take him away from his love for the law of God. And even further, Rehoboam goes, and down the list of the kings of Judah, you find a departure from the law of God and from love of it. And a few kings of Judah were found righteous, but even fewer were said to have walked in the ways of their father David. But one of those kings is who we're talking about tonight, King Josiah. As we will find out, Josiah was a righteous king because of his law, his love for the law of the Lord. And that's what I want to talk with you tonight about for just a few moments. Tonight we're going to go through a little bit of historical background leading up to Josiah, because it is important when you talk about Josiah, about what happened before him. But then we will spend most of our time talking about Josiah's reign as king, and we will make applications from that. So let's talk about this historical background for just a moment. And let's start with Josiah's great-grandfather, Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king in Judah, and by the way, there were very few of those. I know in Bible class growing up, I specifically was taught that you had the good kingdom of Judah and the evil kingdom of Israel, and really that wasn't quite the case. Both kingdoms were evil. It was just that Judah had a few good kings who were able to preserve it a little bit longer than Israel, but even it met its end because of its wickedness. And Hezekiah was one of these few good kings. He sought the Lord and he made many reforms, including tearing down the high places that had stood since the days of Rehoboam. No other king of Judah, even the ones that were considered righteous, had done such a thing. But Hezekiah tore them down. And Hezekiah did have some moments where he was prideful. He had some moments where he was not mindful of what the Lord desired, but overall he was a very righteous king who led the people in righteousness. But his son Manasseh was just the opposite. Manasseh is a case where the apple fell very, very far from the tree. He's considered by many to be the most wicked king in Judah's history. And rightfully so, it is his wickedness that is blamed for the fall of Judah. It is because of his wickedness that God says, that is enough. I am going to destroy Judah. I am going to visit wrath upon them. Anything good that Hezekiah did, Manasseh undid, and then added more wickedness upon that. But Manasseh was punished for his wickedness. He was taken into captivity during his reign by the king of Assyria. And in his affliction, he did humble himself greatly before the Lord. And the Lord heard him, and he was released. And he goes back to Judah, and he tries to reform all the terrible things that he had done. But it was too little too late for Manasseh. And his son after him, anything that Manasseh had done to try to make things right in Judah, his son Amon undid as well. And he was wicked like Manasseh was for most of his life. And Amon only reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And the servants of Amon conspired against him and killed him. And it is there that we meet Josiah, because they take Amon's son, Amon's 8-year-old son, and set him on the throne. And we meet Josiah at that point. As we talk about Josiah's reign this evening, before we get into the details, it is worth noting that he is a righteous king. But have you ever considered why? This is just speculation on my part. But imagine the setting that Josiah is in. Imagine his circumstances. Imagine that you yourself are an 8-year-old child, and your father has been put to death, assassinated by his servants, and now you are responsible for the good of an entire kingdom. Now, certainly, Josiah was not given all this responsibility all at first. He had, he might have been a figurehead. But still, to have all that weight placed upon you, and to see all the evil that had been done in this land, it would have, I think, very greatly shaped Josiah. And to see all these horrors, I think, plays a huge part in why he is a righteous king. Because he heard of what happened to his grandfather, Manasseh. He saw what happened to his own father. His own father was killed after 2 short years of reign. And I think that he wanted to change that because he knew what wickedness brought you. And so we have Josiah's reign starting in 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34 is where we will spend most of the evening. And it is a wonderful read in the life of Josiah and everything that he has done. We'll start in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. With Jewish reckoning of years here, it's difficult to know exactly when Josiah started to seek the Lord and when he started his reforms, but our best guess is that he was 16 when he decided, I'm going to seek the Lord. And he was 20 when he started reforms in Judah. And I think him starting so young, as it is noted in verse 3, while he was still young, him starting so young emphasizes two things, perhaps three. It emphasizes his urgency in doing this. It emphasizes his dedication to the law of the Lord. But it also suggests, I think, that things had gotten very, very bad in Judah. And as we continue to read in verse 4, we see just how bad it had gotten. In verse 4, we read, they broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces, and made dust of them, and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder, and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the governor of his city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord, his God. As you read, I think it's clear to see the wickedness and the depravity in Judah in these few verses. But notice that Josiah is not content simply purging Judah. Manasseh, Ephraim, Naphtali, these also are territories of Israel. And Israel at this point had been taken into captivity, but some were left there, the poor and the sick and the old. They were left there and they were still worshiping idols after all that had happened to their country. But Josiah isn't content with simply purging his nation. He looks at Israel, he looks at the atrocities that they are committing, and he knows that that too has to go. Josiah gave no occasion to anyone to worship idols instead of the one true God. And after Josiah had purged the land and the temple, he turns his attention toward repairing this temple. You know, the temple was probably poorly maintained, and pagan practices most likely caused some damage to the temple as well. And Josiah knew that he had to make things right. He had to repair the temple so that he could restore worship in Jerusalem. And it is while the men are repairing the temple that they find something incredible. Continue reading with me in verse 14 of chapter 34. Now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Skip down to verse 18. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Abdon the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum the son of Tochath, the son of Hazra, the keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her to that effect. Then she answered them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his word against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. So they brought back word to the king. The men, while repairing the temple, they find the book of the law. They bring it back to Josiah and they read it to him. Josiah, when he hears the law, he tears his clothes and he weeps and he mourns because he is convicted by these words. He's convicted that neither he himself nor his country nor Israel were keeping the laws that the Lord had written. And he knew that wrath was coming because of their wickedness. And so he sends men to inquire of a prophetess. Just when is this coming? What is going to happen to us? And the Lord does tell Josiah. He doesn't say, well, you know, because you have done such good reforms here, because you are a righteous king, I will spare Judah. No, God has made up his mind. Judah will fall. Calamity will come upon Jerusalem. But the Lord does tell Josiah that it wouldn't be in his days, that he would be spared because he had a tender heart before the Lord, and he humbled himself. And I think Josiah's reaction to this news is quite amazing. But before we read that, I want you to think back in your memory of scriptures. Recall in 1 Kings 21, Hezekiah is told by the Lord that Judah would be carried away to Babylon, but that it would not be in his days. Do you remember his reaction? Hezekiah seemed content. He seemed complacent with that. He says, and I'm paraphrasing here, "At least it will not be in my days. I will go to the grave in peace." But that's not what Josiah does. Continue reading with me in verse 29. "Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God all his days. They did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers." When Josiah is confronted with this news that calamity is coming because of the children of Judah's disobedience, but that it's not going to be in his day, he reacts in a way that is most admirable. You see, Josiah truly loved the law of the Lord, and it broke his heart that his people were not following the law. Even though he had done great performance, even though calamity was not going to touch him personally, he was still determined to do what was right and to lead his people in righteousness. For time's sake this evening, we won't read this passage, but go home and read 2 Kings 23. Go read all that Josiah did, even after he finds the law, to reform Judah and Israel. Josiah loved the law of the Lord, and he wanted to keep it with all his heart and all his soul. And he made sure that all the people that he was responsible for, as many people as he had sway over, both Judah and Israel, were going to keep the law of the Lord. It didn't matter that calamity was coming. Josiah knew that they had to do this. And who knows, maybe if they had continued in this, they might have been spared. But Josiah, he did what he knew was right because of his love for the law of God. There is, however, a cautionary tale at the end of Josiah's life. Keep reading with me now in chapter 35 in verse 20. It says, "After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates. And Josiah went out against him. But he sent messengers to him, saying, 'What have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but against the house with which I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Refrain from meddling with God, who is with me, lest he destroy you.' Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself so that he might fight with him, and did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. So he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archers shot King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, 'Take me away, for I am severely wounded.' His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem. So he died and was buried in one of the tombs of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah." as good as Josiah's reign was, as all the righteousness that he had done, all the reforms that he made, his reign ends rather abruptly in the narrative, and it ends for what I describe as tragic reasons. We're not told Josiah's rationale for going out against Necho when Necho goes up to fight Babylon at Carchemish. It's not stated why he went out. But we are made very aware of one important thing. Necho tells Josiah that he has been commanded by God to go against Babylon. And thus for Josiah to stand in his way was standing in the way of what God had commanded. Josiah didn't heed this warning, and he was killed in Megiddo. And how sad is it that someone who spent his entire life heeding the word of the Lord, loving the law of the Lord, he met his end because, for one moment, he did not heed the words of the Lord. As we look at the totality of Josiah's life, I think we can learn three valuable lessons. Number one, we must not be afraid to do what is right, even in a world full of wickedness. Josiah came into reign at 8 years of age in the most wicked time in the history of the nation of Judah. And yet, even though he came into power at this most wicked time, he was arguably the most righteous king in all of Judah's history. He transformed Judah into a nation that followed the Lord all of Josiah's days, and not just Judah, but those who had been left in Israel, who had been taken captive. The nation had been taken captive for their wickedness. And yet Josiah, in spite of all this wickedness in front of him, he is not afraid to do what is right, because he has love for the law of the Lord. But as we are doing what is right, we must remain humble. We must remain tender-hearted. Josiah had already instituted great reforms in Judah, but when he heard the law, when he saw that there was still more to do, he humbled himself. He was tender-hearted. He mourned because they were not keeping the law of the Lord. You know, I think about in our own lives. Here we are worshiping the Lord. You're out on a Sunday evening in the pouring rain, and you are to be commended for that. But I think about as we read this book, as we read what God has told us to do in our lives, as we read the words on these pages and we're confronted with perhaps sin that we have in our lives or an attitude that should not be there, as we are confronted with what we would call the old man, who is still lingering around in our lives as we are being made into that new man day by day and we are trying to walk as Christians, there is still part of that old man that is lingering. And sometimes when we are confronted with the law of God, we are not going to like what we see. When we look into that perfect law of liberty, we're not going to like what we see. And it should humble us. We should be tender-hearted. We should continue to make changes as Josiah did. But sometimes we are more like King Asa, for example, who in his old age turned away from the Lord and was told that he did something wrong, that he had sinned, and he became stubborn against the Lord. And as far as we are told, Asa died in sin. But that wasn't Josiah. Josiah, when he heard the words of the law of the Lord, because of his love for the law of God, he made changes. And that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do as Christians. We must remain humble. We must remain tender-hearted before the Lord, because his word is there to convict us. His word is there to make great changes in our lives, if we will let him. Finally, we must never, ever stop loving the law of the Lord. Josiah loved the law of the Lord as his father David had. But he had just one momentary lapse in judgment where he did not heed the law of the Lord. Again, we're not told why Josiah went out. But, you know, I think most likely, I have very little doubt, that it had something to do with the safety of his country. Why else would a king go out to war against Egypt? I think Josiah loved his country dearly. But he was supposed to love the law of the Lord even more. And Necho said, God told me to do this. Do not stand in my way. And perhaps Josiah didn't believe him. That's possible. But it's not as if he did not have a prophetess to consult with. In fact, he had already consulted with this prophetess. If he was truly concerned with what God said, he could have found out if Necho was lying or if he was telling the truth. And by the way, I think scripture indicates that Necho was telling the truth. God did tell him to do this. Where was Josiah's love for the law of God then? He let something else get in the way. He let his love for his country and perhaps other things get in the way. And I wonder sometimes if we let things get in the way too. Things that we love dearly. Perhaps our children or other relatives of ours. Do we love them more dearly than we love the law of the Lord? Think about perhaps our jobs, our careers. Think about that. Do we love that more than the law of the Lord? I know many of you, as I've taught to you, you love your jobs. You love your families. Those things are dear to you. But what I hope in each and every one of you is that you love the law of the Lord more. And it is so important. Yes, Josiah lost his life, his physical life. But there is so much more at stake than just your physical life if you fail to love, have the love of the law of the Lord that you should have in your own life. There's so much more at stake. So what I would tell you as we close this evening is never, ever stop loving the law of the Lord. Never, ever let something else get in the way of your love of the law of the Lord, like unfortunately Josiah did. Josiah was a great man, and he gives us a lot to think about this evening, and I hope that you will think about these things as we close. As we close, I have just one question for you. Does your heart and your conduct, does it reflect a love for the law of God? Truly. You know, there are a lot of people out in this world who say, I love Jesus. I love God. I love the Bible. Who will profess that, but their conduct says otherwise. What is it that Jesus said? If you love me, keep my commandments. Are we a people that truly loves Jesus? That truly loves God, truly loves His law like we should? Does our heart and our conduct reflect that? If you're not a Christian, I think the answer is a categorical no. You don't have a love for the law of God because you have not obeyed it. But the good news is that you can start tonight. Josiah, at one point in his life, while he was still young, turned his heart to seek the Lord. And tonight, you can make that same turn yourself. You can turn your heart to seek the Lord and to do all the things that He has commanded. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord before men, and are baptized in the waters of baptism for the remissions of sin, for the remission of sins, then you too can turn your heart to seek the Lord. And you can show the love for the law of God that we've talked about tonight. But as Christians, as many of us are this evening, the question I have for you is, in your own life, do you see that love for the law of God like you should? Truly, take a moment and think inward. Look inward at yourself. Do you see that in yourself? If there's anything we can do for you tonight, I would urge you to come forward while we stand and while we sing.